Simple question. Are you a good Bible student? Now, I want you to think about that. I didn't ask you if when you were in school, if you were a good student in school. I didn't ask you if you went to college, if you were a good student in college. I just ask you, are you a good Bible student? And I'm going to tell you right up front that I do not believe that this generation of people study the Bible like their forefathers did. And I understand that there are so many more things today that are vying for your time than what our forefathers had. But what does that change? It's still a matter of priorities. And where you put the emphasis and what means the most to you. What kind of a Bible student are you? How much do you know about the Bible? How much do you study? And a very important question. Do you even know how to study the Bible? Do you? Those are four important questions. I don't know what you know about the Bible. I think some people are Christians simply because that's just all that they were ever taught. They know what they know about the Bible because of maybe the efforts of their parents. And because that's just all they know, that's why they're a Christian. As far as how much you study, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue. But I can tell you one thing. Chances are, you don't study enough. And I mean that sincerely. I just don't think that Christian people today study their Bibles as much as they ought to. And then, do you know how to study the Bible? Let me remind you of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 1. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. We're going to look at two verses in each one of those letters that Paul was talking about what was going to happen to the church. In the 3rd chapter in verse 1, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come. You know why? You know why those dangerous times were going to happen? Because of a lack of knowledge on the part of God's people. Plain and simple. He said, these perilous times, these great temptations, this slipping away from our spirituality, he said it's going to happen, and the reason that it's going to happen is because you don't know enough about the Bible. You're not dedicated to the cause of Christ as you should be. And these things are going to beset God's people. And you look at how many years ago that was written, and it is even more magnified today. In Hosea 4 and verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because they have rejected knowledge, I will reject them. He said, My people are going to be destroyed for lack of knowledge. I tell you what, the Jonesboro Sun over the last, I don't know, I'm going to say the last month in particular, has just been besieged with letters about the ruling in the state of Arkansas about the homosexuality and whether or not they should have the right to marry and so forth. And there has been give and take for pro and con, so forth and so on. And you see just how little some people know about God and God's Word by some of the things that they will submit in a letter to the paper and then sign their name to it. Now you talk about people that don't know anything about the Bible. But now you look at what Hosea said. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. There was a letter in there this past week that said, if God is going to be true to Himself, the United States of America is going to fall. And he said, the Muslim religion is going to take over the world. That scares me to death. Scares me to death. And yet, I don't think that that will ever completely happen. I don't believe God will allow it. But I'm going to tell you, it is a precursor of something that we certainly need to think about. And you know what the root cause of all of this is? Is because people do not know God's Word, they don't respect it, and it has no authority in their life. No authority. And he said, because they reject my Word, he said, I'll just reject them. You know, that's a pretty good warning, isn't it? It's a pretty good warning. And yet our society today draws further and further and further away from God. We want God to be an outcast. We don't want Him mentioned. We do not want His name put before the masses today. Why? Because most people just don't know any better. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 1. Now we look at the warning in the second letter. Look at the warning in the first letter. In the fourth chapter in verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Why? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. There are things that are going on today in the religious world that I would have never believed that so-called religious people would have ever tolerated to take place in a so-called worship to God. It's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. And don't you ever doubt for a second that God does not take note of that. He knows. He knows what's going on. He knows the direction of religion, and more importantly, the direction of His people. Of His people. You know, I look at the denominational world, and I have some wonderful friends in the denominational world. People that I love, that are zealous, good, moral people. But I understand, to a certain extent, why they do what they do. But now when it comes to my own brethren, then that's a horse of a different color. I don't understand that. And I never will. God has expectations, and those expectations are set forth to us through His holy and divine will. And we have to study it to be aware of what God wants us to do, how to live, how to worship Him, and how to be acceptable in His sight. And that is not Dwight Harrison, chapter 3, verse 1. That's God. God can speak for Himself, and He does. He will. The Hebrew writer said, it is impossible for God to lie. God's not going to lie to us. And you know, when you go to the book of Revelation, and you look at what was going on there and those saints that were crying out to God, how long, God? How long is it going to be before You take some kind of action? How long, God? Don't you ever doubt for a second that God will not take action. And it doesn't make any difference if it's me, you, or the President of the United States. When we are biblically ignorant and will not stand for a thus saith the Lord, we will reap the whirlwind one of these days. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, a verse that is probably one of the first verses that we learn as a child of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You study. Why, Paul? He said that you can show yourself approved unto God. What's that mean? Well, it means that you don't have to have somebody like me to tell you what is acceptable in the sight of God, because you study and you already know. All I do is reaffirm it and call it to your remembrance and stir you up, as Peter said. But you already know. Why? Because you study. You study. To show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. There are some brethren today that ought to be ashamed. Why? They don't know anything about the Bible. I'm talking nothing. They couldn't defend the plan of salvation if their life depended on it. And that is the milk. That's as simple as it gets, the plan of salvation. And yet, brethren can't defend that? What do they know about Christian living? What somebody else has told them. Why? Because they refuse to study. Well, I got to go fishing. I got to go to the ball game. We're going out to eat. We're going over to Uncle Johnny's and spend 2 or 3 days there. You see, we find time to do everything but the most important thing in the world, and that is to study the Word of God. To study the Word of God. And I'm going to tell you something about study. That doesn't mean to speed read. I hear people say, well, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. Big deal. What do you know about it? What did you retain about it? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with reading the Bible from cover to cover, but that's not how you study. You don't speed read. And that's what a lot of people have gotten into. They just glance at it. And that's another thing. Some people just glance at God's Word. It doesn't make an impression upon them. They just glance at it. It doesn't mean to ignore the words that you don't understand. That's not how you study. That's why I asked you, do you know how to study God's Word? Well, there was a word in such and such a verse, and I didn't understand it, so I just moved on. Let me tell you what you need. You need a good Bible dictionary. And you can find them. They're not hard to find. Get a good one. You need a good Bible concordance. You need a trustworthy commentary. I heard about a fellow one time that taught a Bible class, and he was so wrapped up in a particular commentary that when brethren would say, "But now wait a minute, this is what the Bible says. Well, this is what Barnes says, and that's what I go by." I don't have that much confidence in any commentary, but I have all of the confidence in the world in what the Bible says. A Knave's Topical is an excellent book for you to have. These are the kinds of helps that can make it easier for you to study and to understand. If you do not gain knowledge but of 5 verses at a time, because you have fully studied those 5 verses, then you have accomplished a lot in one setting. And you can read 2 or 3 chapters. But if all that you're doing is just reading, how much of it do you retain? But now if you apply yourself and really study verses that may be troublesome to you, verses that you have never completely understood, then that's how you study. And you study with the intent of gaining knowledge. Knowledge. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 15, Peter said, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you of the reason of the hope that is within you in meekness and fear." Can you do that? No, I can't do that. How come? Well, I just hadn't studied. Just hadn't studied. Do you think you have a responsibility as a child of God to defend the faith? Jude said we did. He said that we earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. How do you do that? Study. Study. And brethren, you never get to the point to where you know it all. No. You study, and you study, and you study some more. Through study and becoming familiar with where certain verses are located. I've got Bibles that I have highlighted and marked on and written in, and there was a reason for that. That it would help me remember. That it would make an impression upon my mind. That when I thought about certain verses, I would remember what that verse said and the importance of that verse. You should be able to defend the plan of salvation with book, chapter, and verse. You should be able to defend what we do here at Village Creek in our worship. How do you do that? With knowledge. Knowledge. In Acts 17 and verse 11, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind," there it is, "and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so." They had a ready mind. Do you? Do you to some things? Can you tell me what the score in the Cardinal ball game was yesterday? A lot of people can retain that. Can you tell me what you had for supper last night? A lot of people can retain that. But can you retain God's Word because you have a ready mind? And that you search the Scriptures, and there's a key word, daily. Daily. They studied daily. Why? They wanted to know if they were being taught the truth. Do you? Well, I tell you what, I've just got a lot of confidence in our preacher. And if he says it, that's good enough for me. Baloney. That ought not be good enough for you. Ooh. Shouldn't be good enough. Certainly, he has a responsibility to you. But he's a man. He can be wrong. He can make mistakes. And we need to be aware of that. But God's Word, now that's a horse of a different color. This is the perfect law of liberty. That's what James said. It is complete, it is perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. There it is right there. And I don't have time for it. I don't see an importance to it. The only thing that's going to matter to you one of these days is whether or not you are a child of God. That's it. The Lord, on the day of judgment, is not going to say, well, you know old Dick Mitchell, he is a very successful man. Care less about that. Was Dick Mitchell true to the standard of God? That's all that matters. And you know, I had rather live in a shack on the side of the road than live in a great mansion and lose my soul. I heard a song yesterday, and I want to stroll over heaven with you. I want to stroll over heaven with you. What a wonderful song. One of these days, I want us to be able to stroll over heaven together with God the Father and Christ the Son for endless ages. And the only way that that will ever happen is when we are students of God's Word and we apply what we learn and we live those things out in our everyday walks of life. Someone said to me the other day, said, so-and-so is really a good man. He's generous. He's honest. He's just a good man. But he's not good in the sight of God. He may be good in my sight. He may be good in your sight. But he's not good in the sight of God. The only way that I can be good in the sight of God is when I am obedient unto Him. And I will never earn heaven. I'll never earn it. I cannot do enough to go. It is the gift of God. But I prove myself as to whether or not I am worthy to go. Worthy to go. In John 5 and verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Search the Scriptures. What is that? Study? Study. You're searching the Scriptures to learn about eternal life. How to attain it. How to get it. How to be prepared for it. this past week, we buried another one of our old soldiers here at Village Creek. And we're losing those old soldiers one by one. And you know, Barry made a statement to me last Wednesday night. We were talking after Bible study. And he said, Dwight, you understand now that more of your life is behind you than what's ahead of you. You ever think about it like that? I'm 66 years old. More of my life is behind me than what's ahead of me. And I realize that every day I'm getting in to the point to where before very long I'm going to be one of those older members. And it won't be but a few days till they'll close that casket lid on me if the Lord doesn't come back first. And brethren, that same thing's going to happen to you. I told Dickie the other day, I said, Dick, I'm going to tell you something. The older I get, when I see that casket lid close for the last time, more it bothers me. More it bothers me. And I'm going to tell you something, brethren. I have seen a lot of casket lids closed for the last time. A lot of them. And every one of them has bothered me. Because it tells me that is an end for a departed soul. That's the end of it. No second chance. Nothing more. Nothing else can be done. And that can either be good or bad, can't it? It can be good if we're ready to go to Abraham's bosom. What do you know about Abraham's bosom? How much have you ever studied about Abraham's bosom? What do you know about it? I guarantee you that there are people in the church that believe that when you die, you just either go to heaven or hell. In fact, I have had brethren say to me, well, I just don't understand how it can be any way other than that. Well, because it's not, because God's Word says it's not. It's not that way. When you die, you don't automatically either go to heaven or hell. You go into the Hadean world. You go into the waiting place. And you either go to Abraham's bosom or you go to Tartarus. And you wait. Rich man went to Tartarus. The beggar went to Abraham's bosom. And they're waiting. And every departed soul either goes to one of those two places. And they're waiting. They're waiting. What are they waiting on? Waiting on the Lord to come back. And we'll meet Him in the air. We'll be called into judgment. And our knowledge of God's Word, how we have adhered to it, how we have allowed it to influence us in regard to how we have lived, will determine whether or not we're going to heaven or Gehenna. Gehenna is the final hell. And I'm going to tell you something. If you sit in this building this morning and you ultimately end up in Gehenna, you have no idea what awaits you. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched, and the smoke ascendeth up all of the time. Forever and ever and ever. But we can make it to heaven. You ever study about heaven? You ever study God's Word about heaven? You want to go? You want to go to heaven? Well, show God that you do. Familiarize yourself with heaven. false teachers in the church thrive on members who are unlearned. In Romans 16:18, with good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple, the unlearned. They prey on those folks, and they mislead them, and they give them a false sense of security, and they deceive them into believing a lie. And unfortunately, they'll end up in the devil's hell. Sometimes, here's what a lot of people live by. Well, it sounds good. Sounds good. I think it'll work. I think it would be popular. Well, what does God say about it? What does God say about it? I remember when I was a boy, I spent about all of my time with my dad. And his dad was still alive. And if my daddy wanted some advice, who do you think he went to? He went to his dad. And so a lot of times it would be me and my dad and my grandpa that would be out trying to determine whether or not a field of cotton needed to be disked up or leave it. Whether or not we ought to do this or whether we ought to do that. Daddy would say, Papa, what do you think about it? Papa, what do you think about it? He wanted his dad's advice. You know what I want? I want God's advice. He's my daddy. He's my heavenly father. He is my spiritual father. And I want his advice. I want him to tell me how to go to heaven. Look in 2 Timothy 3. And let's begin reading in verse 14. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Now, did you get that? Which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures. How did they know them? They studied. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How's that possible? Through this book right here. Let me tell you something, Timothy. From a child, you have known Scriptures. Eunice and Lois, they made him aware of what the Bible said, didn't they? They worked with him. Do you? Do you work with your children? Your grandchildren? I was telling Sharon the other night, someone had said something about me talking to Jace about something. And I told Sharon, I said, till the day that I die, I will never quit talking to Jace about what I think is important in his life. Never. I've not quit in Clay's, and I've not quit in Lori's. And I will never, until the day that I draw my last breath. And I cannot say today that my children are perfect and never make mistakes. I make mistakes. But it is not because of a lack of effort to try to help them understand what God expects out of them. Sometimes me and Clay tie up and we have some pretty hard discussions about some things, and we don't always see eye to eye. But I guarantee you one thing, he knows where I stand. He knows what I believe the Bible teaches. And I want Jace to be the same way. And I'm going to close this morning and just simply reminisce just a little bit. I remember some of the old timers. Miss Zelma, you appreciate this. Some of the old timers, they didn't have the best of secular education. They maybe never got a high school diploma. Never had the opportunity to go to college. But you know what they had? They had a knowledge of God's Word, didn't they, Miss Elma? They knew what the Bible said. And they loved it. And they respected it. And they put it into practice. Put it into practice. And brethren, we may be highly educated. And we may know a lot of things. But if we don't know God, we don't know anything. So, this morning, you a good Bible student? Does God know you? Do you know Him? Do y'all correspond a lot through your efforts? You know, there's never any doubt in my mind that God's ready to be there to study with you. He'll be there. How about you? You be there? You be there? Search the Scriptures and find out where you stand with God. If you've never obeyed the plan of salvation, my friends, you're on the outside looking in. And I hope that when you look in, you see something good. But that's all you're doing is looking, because it's of no benefit to you. No benefit. But once you obey that plan of salvation and you become that child of God, then my friend, you become our brother, our sister. And you're in the ark of safety. And if you die today, you're ready to go home. You're ready to go home. But that is totally dependent upon you. What did Felix say? Felix said, I'm going to wait for a more convenient season. What did Agrippa say? Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Well, I'm getting tired of almost. I'm ready. God's ready. Are you? Then you come right now as we stand and as we sing.